Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid, with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
Two Sides to Every Story. Ding, ding! Ding, ding! Admiral Clitheroe to engine room. Increase speed to 20 knots. Hey, 20 knots it is, Admiral! Admiral Clitheroe to engine room. Have you got a good head of steam? That we have, Admiral. Good. Put the kettle on. We'll all have a cup of tea.
Oh, you're in here. Come on, out of my way.
Ding, ding! Admiral Clitheroe to engine room. Strange-looking object approaching on the port bow. I think it's Moby Dick.
I'll smack you in a minute. Well, what are these silly bits of paper doing in the wash basin?
Silly bits of paper? That's the British Home Fleet. Every ship handmade from the exercise book.
Well, get them out of here. I want to have a wash.
Hey, stop splashing the water. Look what you've done. You've sunk my aircraft carrier.
That's nothing to what I'm going to sink now.
You big twit, you. You pulled the plug out and sunk the Navy.
Good. Here's your ships, Admiral Nuisance.
Stop screwing them up. I was going to flog them to me pals for a penny each. They're all wet.
They must be if they'll pay a penny for a piece of paper. Now clear off. I want to wash my face.
Right, where's the flannel? I'll give you a wash.
Oh, you cheeky monkey. Wait till I go downstairs. I'll tell Mother and Grandad about you, you little horror.
Honestly, it sounded like bedlam up in that bathroom. What were you two playing at?
I was going to tell you, Mother. Our Jimmy was...
I'll tell her. My man wants to hear the truth.
You can tell me as well, then. It'll be quite a novelty hearing the truth from you, Jim. Go on.
Well, I was up in the bathroom doing me homework.
Doing your homework in the bathroom?
Oh, me music homework. I was practicing on the scales. No, I was checking it in my exercise book, and I thought to myself, apart from washing me hands, face, neck and knees, cleaning me teeth and leaving the bathroom like I found it, what else can I do to please me mum?
Feel his forehead, Father. He's not well.
I thought, I know, she's always wanted me to be in the Sea Scouts, so I'll start off by making myself some of them little model boats.
Out of the pages of his exercise books?
Oh, shut your face, Scraggy. I mean, I hadn't finished talking, sister dear. Just then our Susan came in saying she wanted to wash in a hurry, so I helped her by giving her a quick rub with my face flannel.
Now then, Clitheroe, about your late arrival at school this morning, which one of you is telling the truth? You or Oswald Higginbottom?
Me. I told the truth. I told the truth, Mr. Sniffer, Grumbler, Grimble. You don't want to believe what Fat Ozzy tells you.
But Fat Oswald said you attacked him as you entered the school, did you?
No, but I will when I leave it.
Pardon?
Nothing, sir. I was just sniffing to myself. Talking. I didn't attack Ozzy, sir.
I see. Then why was it I had to send him home with his nose bleeding?
Oh, well, he accidentally walked into something I happened to have in my hand, sir.
What was it?
The school door. I mean, Ozzy tried to lock it so I'll be late and get the cane. I accidentally shoved it in his face, trying to get in.
But didn't Oswald tell you he was monitor today, and he was locking the door on the instructions of the headmaster?
No, he never mentioned an old Toby Jug. Mr. Treadwell, sir.
See. And you say you were late leaving home this morning because your sister accidentally knocked your homework into the wash basin.
Well, yes, in a way. I had to tear some pages out and start again.
I see. Very well, Clitheroe. Oswald left his gym things here. You'd better take them home for him.
Right, sir.
And as today's Friday, you'd better do the job Oswald should have done as monitor. Before you go home today, you can attend to the livestock in our pet's corner.
You mean feed them, sir?
Yes.
Oswald said he'd see to it at tea time. He was going to give them an assortment of insects, grubs, ants' eggs, and lettuce leaves. He's a good boy, Oswald.
Oh, you're right, sir. I mean, who else should give up his own food for the pets?
Saturday mornings. I've got all my errands to do. The shops will be full and I've got to have my hair done at 11.
Oh, but don't worry, Susan. I'll go for you.
What are you going to have, Alfie? A shampoo and set or a perm?
See, it's not me. Susan's having her hair done.
Oh, and you're going to take it for her?
Yeah, no. Look, when I said I'll go, I meant to Susan's shops. Well, not Susan's shops. She doesn't own the shops, but she shops at the shops, and I'll go to the shops if somebody will tell me which shops they are.
Get a pencil and paper, Alfie.
Right, Susan, which shop do I get him from? Oh, of course, they're to write down the list of shops before I go to the shops. Hey, I didn't think. Which shop shall I call at first?
Call at the pawn shop. Give them the ticket and get your brain back.
I'll give you such a smack in a minute.
What's going on now?
I'll tell you, ma'am. I'm helping Alfie to help our Susan.
He's causing trouble as usual, Mother.
He isn't. He just got a bit mixed up, didn't you, Alfie?
That's right, Mrs. Clithernall. Yeah, but I've got it straight now. Susan's taking her hair to the shop. Yeah, not the pawn shop. I mean, Jimmy said that, the hairdressers. So I'm doing the others with the paper and pencil. Can I do any for you?
No, thanks, Alfie. I'll do them myself, whatever they are. I mean, no...
It's my errands, Mother.
Oh.
Alfie, why do you listen to our Jimmy?
Because he likes the way I sing, don't you, Alfie?
Yeah. No, I don't sing. Who's singing?
Nobody. Quiet, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't get it.
No, but you will do if you give him the pawn ticket.
Alfie, what's he talking about?
My brain's at the pawn shop. It isn't, but that's what he said. Oh, don't listen to him singing. I mean, don't listen to him, Mrs. Clitheroe. It's all a lot of nonsense.
Yes, well, that's just what I was thinking.
Look, Alfie, if you're going these errands, you'd better hurry up.
Yes, because you've got to take me to my pal Ozzy's yet on your bike.
Pat, if you're going out, could you do a wee errand for me?
I'm afraid not, Father. I'm just going to the parish hall.
Yeah, well, I'm going, Mr. Sinclair. No, not to the parish hall, but I could do an errand. Mind, it depends where it is, because I haven't made my list out. But don't worry, I'm going.
I should think you're nearly there by now.
Just you stop it, my lad. Can't you go yourself, Father?
Well, I could, but Higginbottom said he might call round, and, well, he'll only moan if I'm not in. Oh, I'll go myself this afternoon.
Well, I'd go, but I've got this meeting at 11 with the curate, Mr. Golightly.
Oh, aye, Golightly. I want a word with young Jim about him. I saw Golightly in the street the other day, and you should have heard the story you told me.
Hope it was a cleaning.
Go on, Father.
Well, he said old Mrs. Winthrop, who helps at the church, lost her wristwatch, and our Jimmy told her the curate had pinched it.
What? Jimmy Clitheroe.
I didn't say that, ma'am. She got it all mixed up when I told her Mr. Golightly had found a watch in the vestry.
But why did she think Golightly was pinching it?
When I told her one of the hymns he'd picked for the service that day.
And what hymn was that?
Lord, her watch, thy church is keeping.
Lord, her watch thy church is keeping. Oh, I rather like that, Mrs. Clitheroe. 10 out of 10 to Master Clitheroe for inventiveness.
Yes, well, Mrs. Winthorpe did get a watch back then.
Oh, yes. I'm afraid I'd complained to your father about James before I realised exactly what had happened. Your son has quite a gift for paraphrasing the truth.
Yeah, he tells quite a few lies as well. Honestly, you should hear the fairy stories he makes up. As Father said only the other day, compared to our Jimmy, Hans Anderson was a dead mug.
Oh, dear. That was a bit grim, wasn't it? Oh, grim fairy stories. Oh, it's a joke, Mrs. Clitheroe. Ah, this is your street, is it not?
Yes, just round this bend, and that's our house over on the... What's going on?
Oh, dear. Oh, it looks like trouble.
Jimmy! Jimmy, what's happening?
You're just in time for the big fight, Mum. My granddad and Mr. Higginbottom are having a punch-up.
Stop it, Bunny.
Oh, calm down, Higgy, calm down.
Let go, me wit. Let go. I'll kill him, the old haggis basher.
Will you calm down? Do you want to get arrested for cremating a disturbance?
Let him go, Whittle. Let him go. I'm just dying to stick one on the end of that big nose of his. Get off me, Alfie!
No, Mrs. Sinclair, you must... You can't fight Mr. Higginbottom.
Him, he couldn't fight my lad, Ozzy. The senile old caber tosser.
What? I'll show you. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Put them up!
Father, stop it!
Let go, me wit. Let go, me arm.
Oh, stop it, Higgy. Oh, somebody give me a hand. He's gone off his rocket.
Let him go, Whittle. Let him go. I'll hit him that hard, you'll need his taxi to go and fetch him back.
Father, for the last time, stop it. Can't you see Mr. Golightly's here?
Yes, Grandad, he'll fight Mr. Higginbottom.
Yes. No. You please cease this unseemly affray.
Yeah, and stop fighting as well.
Shut up. Really, Father? Fighting in the street, indeed. Look, some of the neighbours are watching.
Yes, Mum. I'll go round with me cap.
You won't need a cap in a minute. You'll have no head to put it on. Come on, inside, all of you. Let's get to the bottom of this nonsense. Let's all sit down quietly while the kettle's boiling. And you can tell me what happened.
He came round here throwing his weight up.
Mr. Sinclair, Mr. Higginbottom fighting on my back. Well, they weren't fighting on me back. I mean, there wouldn't have been enough room.
Shut up!
Please, will you all shut up? Be quiet, I mean. Let us discuss this like reasonable grown men. Now, let us please have the truth.
Right. I'd just been round to Mr. Higginbottom's to do me good deed.
Not you. Carry on, Mr. Golightly.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Clitheroe. Now, Mr. Higginbottom, why were you fighting with Mr. Sinclair?
Because I'm too big to belt his grandson.
Coward.
James, I'm not too big to belt you. Oh, are you saying Master James was the cause of all the trouble, Mr. Higginbottom?
Of course, isn't he always?
Look, begin at the beginning. Now, what exactly happened to annoy you?
I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting at home this morning having a quiet chat with the wife when this young brat starts kicking my front door down. Him and Dozy Dan here. All right, cut that out. What the... Ah, my leg!
Oh, sorry, Mr. Higginbottom. Did I hurt you?
Oh, no. A kick on the ankle doesn't hurt. Come here and I'll show you.
Get off. Help, he's gone mad. Alfie, clout him with your crash helmet.
Hey, leave Jimmy alone, Mr. Madbottom. Beg him. It was an accident. He tried to kick the door, but you opened it.
Oh, I see. It was my fault for opening the door. I'm sorry, Clitheroe, if I upset you.
Oh, that's all right. But just watch it next time.
What? Clear up before I strangle you, you little hooligan.
Look, I only came round to do Ozzy a favour.
Do us all a favour. Leave home. As soon as your head gets better...
There's nothing wrong with me, Ed.
I haven't hit you yet.
Hey, that's not very nice, Mr. Higginbottom, when Jimmy's come here just to give Ozzy his satchel. No, not Jimmy's, Ozzy's, that he left at school. Ozzy, I mean. The teacher told Jimmy he forgot it. Not the teacher, Jimmy. Ozzy, I mean, he left it.
Why don't you leave your head somewhere and have it stuffed?
He means Ozzy left his satchel at school and the teacher asked me to bring it. And I have.
Oh, well, thanks. But there was no need to kick the door in. You could have just knocked.
I knocked first, but you didn't come, so I said you must be asleep.
I'm never asleep at 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
Of course not. It's opening time.
You what?
At the baths. You take Ozzy swimming, don't you?
I'll take you one of these days and see if you can stay underwater for an hour. Give me that satchel.
Well, could I see Ozzy and give it to him, Mr. Higginbottom? That's what the teacher told me to do.
Give it here.
Oh, all right, here you are. I just wanted to see Ozzy for a minute.
Well, you can't see him, not now.
Why, is he in solitary? I mean, in his room.
His mother's taking him to the shops. He's got to get changed.
What are you changing him for, a pup?
Get lost. Go on.
Oh, all right. We're going. Alfie, say goodbye to the warden.
Goodbye, warden. Yeah, Mr. Prison. The begging thing.
Well, if that's what happened, I can't blame you for being cross, Mr. Higginbottom.
Well, that's the truth, the whole truth.
And nothing like the truth.
I'll belt your look, Clitheroe.
You'll belt nobody, and I'll be belting you.
Shut up before I forget you're an old man.
I'm not too old to sort you out. Come on outside.
Stop it, Father, and you, Mr. Higginbottom.
Yes, cut it out. You're like a couple of historical schoolgirls.
Yes, please calm down, everyone.
Well, you're only listening to Mr. Higginbottom's side of the story.
All right. If you disagree with him, let us hear your version.
Right. Well, Alfie and me went to Foghorn, Mr. Higginbottom's, to do my friend Ozzy a good turn. And we tapped on his door very gently, because I didn't want to disturb anyone. And I always like to be polite. But he couldn't hear us. We could hear him, though, chatting to his wife.
Shut your big fat mouth, you moaning minnie. I'll shut it for you with this coffee pot.
Alfie? I think Mrs. Higginbottom's having one of her coffee mornings. I'd better knock again.
It's no use tapping. Give it a bang. They'll never hear you with Fred on fog blasting off.
Oh, shame on you, Alfie. That's no way to talk about our good friend, Mr. Higginbottom. Maybe a little rough outside, but he has a heart of stone. Oh, blooming gold.
And if that old witch is coming for the dinner, make sure she's gone before I get back from the boozer.
What was that all about?
I think Ozzy's granny is coming for lunch.
It'll be supper time before you deliver that blooming satchel. Get out of the way. See, I'll make him hear you.
Alfie, don't kick the door like that. Mr. Higginbottom only painted it 10 years ago.
What's the idea? Oh, it's you, Clitheroe, you horrible little cheeky young brat.
And very good morning to you, Mr. Higgins.
Shut up and I'll belt you. And you as well, Alfie Halfwit.
Get... What have I done?
You didn't say good morning and raise your crash helmet.
Oh. Good morning, Mr. Higgins.
Shut up and I'll kick you over the fence.
Hey, have you suddenly gone mad?
No. Mr. Higginbottom's always been a little touched. touchy, I mean. Has something upset you, sir?
Yes, seeing your face. I've had enough trouble with that wife of mine and my stupid son.
Oh, is stupid Ozzy in? my chum, I mean.
Yes, his mother's just bringing him round. He didn't clean my shoes properly this morning, so I've tied him to the bed to flog him with a dog whip. And his mother tried to stop me.
How very naughty of her. No wonder you're cross, sir.
Well, you were going to flog him for not cleaning your shoes properly with a dog whip.
That's right. To teach him a lesson.
Yes, how to sit up and beg. And give you his paw. I mean, they haven't got a dog, so Mr. Higginbottom's got to keep him practice.
I'll get the dog whip to you in a minute.
You needn't bother. I'm a good boy. Good boy.
Look, what do you want? I've got to get ready to go out.
I wanted to see Ozzy, please, sir.
Well, you can't. He's not coming out.
Well, can I come in and talk to him in his kennel? His room, I mean.
I've told you can't see him. Now get lost.
Oh, it's no use, Jim. You can't talk to him. Just give him one. It, I mean.
What? I'll give you one.
Not eat you with his fist. The satchel, I mean. Clout you with that. Give it to you. for Ozzy.
Instead of the dog whip.
Yeah, it won't hurt so much.
No.
Not it, Tim. Give him one. Eat the satchel.
You know, you need a clout on the head. It might knock you sensible.
It means Ozzy's satchel, Mr. Higginbottom. The teacher asked me to bring it. Here you are.
Why didn't Ozzy bring it home himself?
He forgot it. He was a bit dazed. The school door ran into him. He ran into it.
All right. Give it here. Now clear off. Go on. I've got things to do in the house.
Yeah, Ozzy and his mum.
What?
Say goodbye to them for us, sir.
Never mind all that rubbish. Go on, get home and take babbling Bertie with you.
Now, James, I'm sorry, but I think you're exaggerating.
Exaggerating? The whole story was a barefaced lie.
And your story had whiskers on it.
Jimmy, don't you be cheeky.
If he was mine, I'd give him a good hiding.
With a dog whip, no doubt.
I've never used a dog whip in my life, you old goat.
Don't you call my grandad an old goat, you big ape.
James, please behave yourself.
Well, what about these two? They're carrying on like two junivile delinquencies.
Look, do you mind keeping your voices down in my house, please?
Yes, gentlemen, please. You are not in a public house.
That's why Mr. Higginbottom's cross.
I'll belt him, I'm warning you.
Jimmy, one more word from you and I'll belt you myself.
Mrs. Clitheroe, really? Oh, I beg your pardon. Look, Alfred, you were with James. Perhaps you could give us a more accurate picture of what happened.
Yeah, well, they were both right, but they were wrong. I mean, Jimmy told the truth and so did Mr. Higginbottom, but they were lying. But part of it, I mean. There wasn't a dog whip, but we could hear him barking, shouting. And he was cross about the witch coming as his granny on a broomstick for a dinner. But they were both to blame. I mean, it was 6 for 1 and 1/2 a loaf for the other. Baker's dozen.
Thank you, Alfred.
Well, I don't know about an accurate picture. That was more like a fried egg sunset by piebald Picasso.
I'll look, Mr. Golightly. I don't know what happened at Higginbotham's, but when this big lout came round here, he was like a lunatic.
Yeah, Mr. Whittle said, the man's gone bisected, didn't you?
Oh, I said that, I did. Higgy definitely lost control of his emotions.
Ah, you'd have lost control as well. You'd have lost control if you'd sat down to your tea and got your custard splashed all over your trousers.
Well, it's not our fault you're a sloppy eater.
That does it. Come here.
Calm down, Mr. Higginbottom, and explain.
This little brat brought our Aussie satchel home, but he didn't tell me there was a frog inside.
A frog? Belonging to Aussie, you mean?
Aussie'd never seen it before. He was opening his satchel on the table just as we started tea, when this frog hopped out and landed in my banana and custard. It splashed all over me. And before I could grab it, it jumped off the table and disappeared.
Oh, dear, what a distressing experience for you.
I don't suppose the frog enjoyed it either. He probably thought Mr. Higginbottom was going to eat him.
That's enough from you. Was it your frog, my lad?
No, honest, ma'am, it wasn't mine. That's what I tried to tell Mr. Higginbottom, but he wouldn't believe me.
That's true. He called him a rotten young liar. That's when I asked Higginbottom to leave my house, didn't I, Harry?
You did suggest that he was protruding on your property and you'd prefer him to extract himself.
He said, get outside and get your coat off, big mouth. That's what he said.
Well, that was the gist of it.
Well, I'll tell you what happened, Mr. Golightly. Me and Alfie came back from Mr. Higginbottom's cave, a house, and we were telling me grandad and Mr. Whittle what had happened. When the door burst open and in came the wild man from Boneo.
Where is he? I'll kill him! I'll strangle him! I'll tear him limb from limb!
Hello, Mr. Higginbottom. Would you like a cup of tea?
It's not tea I want. It's blood. Blood!
Alfie, get up and let Mr. Dracula sit down.
Higginbottom, what's the matter with you?
Calm down, Higgy. People will think you're insanity.
Ah! I'll calm down after I've finished with this young hooligan. See this axe, Clitheroe? It's for you.
For me? Oh, how kind, and it's not even my birthday.
He's not giving it to you, he's going to give it to you. I mean, let you have it, but bash it, you. Hey, stop him, grab him. I've got one arm, you get the other, Mr. Whittle.
Yeah, right, Alfie, I've got it.
Get up. Oh, hang on, Harry, hang on, I'll give you a hand.
And I'll grab your hand, Grandad. Now, ring-a-ring-a-roses.
Heard quite enough of your ridiculous stories. I don't believe a word of it.
Father, will you tell us what really happened?
Well, Jimmy is exaggerating. I mean, Higgy wasn't waving an axe.
You mean it was a hammer?
Yes. No! You keep quiet, my lad. Higgy didn't have anything in his hand, but he was in a terrible temper and he wouldn't listen to reason.
To that little hooligan's lies, you mean?
I didn't tell any lies. You're mixing me up with your Ozzy. Oh,
that will do, James. Don't bring Oswald into this.
No, one Higginbottom's enough.
What was that?
You've got one son and that's enough.
Aye, and if you were my son, I'd throw you in the canal.
And if I was your son, I'd jump in.
You cheeky young brat, I'll...
One more word from you, my lad, and I'll smack you myself. Father, will you speak to him?
Your mother's right, Jimmy. Don't be cheeky to your elders.
Well, Mr. Higginbottom was cheeky to you, and you're his elder. Older, I mean.
That's not the same thing. We're all grown-ups, not children.
Well, in all honesty, I must say you haven't been behaving like grown-ups.
You're right there, Reverence. Starting a punch up in the street at their time of life. I thought by now you'd both have reached the age of distraction.
Well, it was the fact he called Jimmy. I mean, I asked the boy if he was responsible for the frog, and he said no. He gave me his word, didn't you, son?
Well, yes. I gave you my word that I didn't put the frog in the satchel. I never touched it.
Well, now that should be enough for you, Mr. Higginbottom.
Oh, it would be if he was telling the truth.
Now, look, Mr. Higginbottom, Jimmy may be naughty, but he wouldn't give his word if it was a lie.
Now, surely you accept that, Mr. Higginbottom? Now, why don't you and Mr. Sinclair shake hands and forget the whole unfortunate incident?
Yes, go on, Father.
Well, maybe I was a bit hasty, Pete.
Ach, well, I lost my temper as well, Higgy. Och, put it there.
All right. I'm sorry, Pete.
So am I.
Good lads. You both apologise, so everybody's satisfied.
I'm not. Nobody's apologised to me.
Jimmy, will you please keep quiet?
Hello, everyone. Well, what's all this, then? Are you having a party?
Yes, we were just going to play past the parcel. Can we use your head?
Oh, you're here, nuisance. I've got a message for you from your teacher, Mr. Grimble.
Sam the Sniffer? What does he want? A pinch of snuff?
He wants to know if when you were feeding the animals in Pet's Corner, you noticed that the frog was missing.
Oh, yes, sir. Well, never mind that now.
A frog? So you were lying, you little...
I wasn't. I didn't touch the frog.
Jimmy, I want the truth. All of it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I didn't touch the frog. I just happened to have Ozzy's satchel open and the frog accidentally jumped in. And being an animal lover, I didn't like to disturb it. That's the truth, so help me.
What?
Somebody. Anyone. Mr. Golightly, Alfie, hold me granddad while I get out.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, Diana Day as Susan, Tony Melody as Mr. Higginbottom, Brian Truman as Harry Whittle and Mr. Grimble, and Colin Edwin as the curate. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
About what me granddad did. It's a painful subject. He said to me, there's two sides to every story. Some people would say I was going to teach you a lesson. My version is I'm going to give you a walloping. Oh, there's only one answer to that. Wow! Get up!